Well, good Sunday morning to you, and welcome back to Financing Your Future. This is John Schaaf, Senior Vice President Investments from the Schaaf Tally Investment Group of Raymond James, located right here in our lovely city of Wilmington, Delaware. 19808 is our zip code. Of course, we're located at the beautiful Bellevue Park Corporate Center right off of Carr Road, and our address is 200 Bellevue Parkway, Suite 425. We're on the fourth floor, and my office overlooks the beautiful Delaware River. You see the shores of Jersey from my office. How about that? Welcome. It's good to be back this morning. Lots of things have been going on since I've seen her, since I've seen you listen to me. I think I can see you through the radio. No, I can't, really. So you're good. But it's good to be back this morning. Been a lot going on this past week. And before I get started, I do want to remind you that this is the Lord's Day, and that you hopefully you've had a time at or your place of worship, perhaps, or you're on the way to your place of worship. And it'll be good for us to get back in our house of worship this week, because we've been out of town for a little bit, and it's nice to get back to home. You know, it's like Dorothy and the red shoes as she clicks them. There's no place like home, and there's no place like home, and it's good to be back. So nice to be back here at the station this morning, as we get to catch up with Jim. So, again, remind you of our phone number. Our phone number is 302, if you're local. It's 302-798-9113. Or if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. Well, today's a day of rest, so hopefully you're going to kick back this afternoon, because certainly will be warm. And there's not a lot you want to do outside except for maybe work on your tan or work on a heat stroke, whichever you prefer. But it's nice. This would be a good time of the day to just a good day to stay inside today. Again, it's July. It's that time of year. You know, it's funny. We always talk about, oh, my gosh, it's going to be hot. Well, July is typically hot up here, and we typically have these high double-digit numbers with high humidity. But nice thing about Delaware is it doesn't stay long here. It passes, and we're on to the next phase where it'll be beautiful, cool, leaves will be changing. But hey, let's slow down. Let's take a deep breath. Let's pause and be thankful we're in the summertime right now, and we can enjoy this weather and enjoy the heat. Our bones will be warmed up, and we won't have to worry about firing up the furnace anytime soon. Well, again, welcome. It's good to have you listening this morning. I just want to go back and catch a couple things from last week, and then I'll go into some other topics for this week. But I do want to remind you that we do, we're trying to get more tech savvy, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm supposed to remind you, and I need to. It's not I'm supposed to. I really need to remind you that the technology can be our friend, and it's coming from one who has had some difficulty, I'm a little resistant to some of this technology. But I do want to remind you that technology can be helpful, and it's something that we try to balance our technology with our clients. But just to remind you that we do have a web page, and our web page address is www.schaaftally.com. So it's www.schaaftally.com. That page, we try to keep up to date with information we think that is timely. When I say it's a page, it's actually multiple pages that you can visit. And if you're a client of ours, you know you can go to that site and log into your account at Raymond James through that site. And so I would encourage you to take time. I know it's a little intimidating sometimes to go to these things, but it's a safe site. Take a look at it. You can go through there, and you can look at some bios on Joe and Susan and myself. You can also look at some of the other different types of services that we provide for clients. We do have that. It's different types of some background information out there that you could read and follow up on. And of course, you can always give us a call and try to set up an appointment if we haven't met you. And again, that number is 302-798-9113, and set up an appointment where we can get down, get together and begin to go over some things, and perhaps we might be able to help you out doing some of your estate planning or cash flow analysis or retirement planning or many of the other services that we provide for clients. All right? So I'm saying that, oh, yes, and I must not forget, I was at a conference this week here and this past week in Orlando, and there's amazing how many different things that you can be bombarded with at a conference. But the thing is, what I found fascinating was there was so much technology. And as I said earlier, there was the future of technology is just incredible. And of course, one of the things that, again, forgive me, maybe I'm just being ignorant, but the fact is one of the largest provider of news out there, or at least according to one of the speakers that was there, is Facebook. And I'm going, Facebook? I thought that's more of a family, you know, the kids and the grandkids and stuff like that. But that's the evolution of the process of getting news and information to people is migrating over to Facebook now. So again, we have a Facebook page. So I want to let you know that we've got that. So you can go there and check us out and like us. We do have limited, capabilities with that page, but I would certainly say take a peek at it, and because Joe's real good about putting up pretty information up there pretty quickly. We don't get overzealous with it, but we do have some things in there that you might find beneficial. So please take a look at our Facebook page as well if you have some time this week. And again, if you like us, say take a peek at it and click the like and let us know. All right. Well, again, this week has been a busy week. As I said, you've seen markets continuing to break records. The Fed's potentially going to drop rates now instead of raising rates, which is kind of, you're thinking, my goodness, which direction is the economy really going in? Again, based on several different folks that I've had the privilege of being able to listen to, the economy still looks good. It is some slowing, but the economy still looks like it's moving along pretty well. Earnings are probably going to start peeling back a little bit, but they're still on track to be a pretty good year for that. And, of course, we've got the election cycle picking up here, as you've had the opportunity to see more and more of. And there's a daily crisis of some kind every day, it seems like. But one of the things that I had the good fortune of listening to Ed Mills, who's our managing director, who's based out of our Washington office there. And he's from our equity research team, and he has comments about things. And one of the comments I got to listen to him talk about was the trade war, or the trade warfare, probably a better way of saying it. So he spent some time talking about how that's impacting, you know, some of the things that's the tensions, especially between the United States and China. So he had some very good comments about that. But before I get into that, I need to read a couple disclaimers, if I may, please. All expressions of opinions reflect the judgment of Raymond James and Associates are subject to change, and there's no assurance that any forecast will be realized. Now, also, I may mention in this, if I do, I may mention that there will be a comment that Trump would have made. I may reference that, so if I do, I've got to give you this disclaimer, and let me quote this Trump's tweet from December 4th of 2018. I am a tariff man. When people or countries come to raid the great wealth of our nation, I want them to pay for the privilege of doing so. It will always be the best way to max out our economic power. We are right now taking in billions in tariffs. Make America rich again, unquote. So I wanted to be sure I give credit where credit is due on that. So there, I think I did that. And by the way, Raymond James is a member of the New York Stock Exchange, SIPC, just in case I failed to remember to mention that. So anyway, talking about trade warfare, certainly you have seen and heard, perhaps, the tensions between the United States and China, and that seems to have been one of the hallmarks of President Trump's time in office, or at least one of probably, well, we won't go down that road, but several different tension issues that is in his office. And it's a major market overhang that potentially threatens to initiate a decoupling of the world's largest economies, maybe even disrupting some supply chains and potentially hitting company earnings in the process. It has been over 2 years since the initial face-to-face meeting between President Trump and China's President Tsai at Mar-a-Lago, at which time a 100-day plan to address broad economic concerns was put into action. So that's been going on and off. You've seen delays, I believe, recently where Trump delayed this last batch of tariff that was to go into place here. So if I go back and start here, are we in a trade or are we in a trade or a tech war with China? And, you know, it's hard to say. You could argue both cases that maybe you could be argued for both cases, I guess, right? So initial optimism in early 2017 quickly faded as the two sides could not come to an agreement, which, you've got, again, we've already seen, and the key market access and intellectual property protection. And I know that's a big thing for Trump and his President Trump and technology transfer requirements, that those are some key requirements that are still and remain at the center of these talks. So there's been a lot of back and forth negotiations, and it's, you know, it's tied to a reality that is gaining greater appreciation. So these talks are less about overall trade imbalances and more about safeguarding the future of the U.S. economic, technological, and military interests. You know, in short, we believe the Trump administration views this as a battle for supremacy. We've noticed more attention on the day-to-day or tweet-by-tweet coverage of the fight rather than any conversation that why we are in the conflict. It seems like the objectives of the Trump administration and whether China could ever agree to these potential changes, and I think that's part of the issue, is that there's some, and even Ed Mills' conversation over this past week was there's percentage that they'll come to terms with, and there's a percentage that they'll negotiate to some kind of an agreement with, and or there's a large percentage that they'll concede, then there's a large percentage that they'll negotiate through, but then there's going to be some non-negotiables, and that seems to be the ones that the president seems to be making a real pitch for. So the game changer, U.S. tech central to national security, a government-wide effort to strengthen the defense of the U.S. foundational technologies began back in 2017 under the Trump administration, and it's trying to preserve the U.S. leadership in tech, and that will have future military applications such as advanced robotics, artificial intelligence, and I love this word, quantum computing. And so that we hear that a lot in our industry. That's why I'm laughing about this. But quantum computing, the new approach can be thought of as threefold: enhanced domestic foreign investment reviews, commercial controls on tech exports, and ramped up criminal prosecutions against the theft of corporate secrets. So all three take direct aim at China's effort to close the gap in technological know-how and to begin to challenge the established U.S. tech industry for global superiority. The widely publicized, quote, Made in China 2025, unquote, initiative laid out China's ruling party's plan in this area. They're trying to establish domestic and international market share targets for Chinese firms competing with advanced U.S. tech by 2025 and beyond. So, in effect, the Trump administration has moved to set defenses against access to U.S. tech that is aimed at directly threatening U.S. dominance in the tech space for a foreign competitor, especially if it could have military applications. But more broadly, China hardliners in the Trump administration view competition in the tech space as the new ideological frontier to determine the values of the emerging tech landscape. It's, you might call it a modern day Cold War scenario. So Ed goes on to say the more direct challenge to China's behavior came in August of 2017. And the administration's so-called Section 301 investigation into any of China's laws, policies, practices, or actions that may be unreasonable or discriminatory and that may be harming American intellectual property rights, innovation, or technological developments. The investigation led to the tariff imposed, which is the $200 billion of Chinese imports directly targeting China's advanced manufacturing industry central to its Made in China 2025 development goals. This investigation found that China utilizes joint venture requirements. And this is where U.S. firms, you go in, you know, with, and they partner with a Chinese company and they conduct business in China. Well, that all sounds good, right? But then the forced tech transfers, which we call forced tech. So after, then these business licenses are only granted to firms who agree to transfer critical intellectual property to the Chinese partners. So once you get in, they're saying, okay, now you, we want all that. That's what the Chinese are saying. So the foreign direct investment, which is Chinese companies investing in U.S. companies, again, they're trying to gain access to new technologies. And unauthorized network intrusions. Now that, that's a real fancy word for cyber espionage. And it's causing some direct harm to the U.S. industry. So U.S. companies seeking to enter China's markets are frequently required to partner with Chinese partners or detail critical commercial information to the government agencies in order to gain licensing approval. Well, these requirements provide crucial access to U.S. companies or U.S. tech companies that can be replicated by Chinese competitors, according to the investigation. So this report details cyber espionage and hacking efforts targeting U.S. companies for the theft of trade secrets. A November 2018 follow-up report concluded that China has failed to make structural changes and to adopt U.S. recommendations to reform to adequately address U.S. concerns. So the tech battle remains a pivotal issue in ongoing talks and is trending toward escalation for the remainder of 2019, which is, again, as I said, when I was down there with Ed, listening to his conversation about it, this seems to be a very, President Trump wants to hold the line on this and does not want to give in on this thing. And I would have to tend to agree that we want to keep the technology here to continue to give us the advantage in the technology, if you would say tech race, if that's the proper word to use. And by the way, before I forget, if you want a copy of any of these articles that I'll be referring to in this program today, please give me a call, or give Susan or Joe a call at 302-798-9113. Again, if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. And if you had any concerns about how these trade wars may be impacting your portfolio or your investment strategy, and you'd like to have another set of eyes look over your portfolio, certainly give us a call and set up an appointment. We'd be glad to do that and get to meet you. And, you know, hopefully if we were able to give you some help, we would certainly do that and make some help you make some good decisions. But, again, if you have an opportunity and would like to do that, you need to get on the calendar because here it is, the summer. Can you believe I'm saying this is, the last weekend of not quite. Nope, we got one more weekend yet of July, but we're into the seventh month of the year already. Hallmark Channel's got the Christmas in July programs on, so heavens, it won't be long. We'll be looking at Christmas. Try to give us a call where you can get on the schedule. And try to get in the office maybe in the next couple of months because kids will be back in school. You all be busy again. I will get busy, real busy, and try to, now's the time to try to get on the calendars before you forget. So before the program's over, you know, maybe give us a call, leave us a message. You can call our number right now, and there's a recording where you can leave a message, and we'll call you back when we get back in the office next week. So let me move on a little bit here. This stage is set for significant economic restrictions targeting China. And that's what you're seeing in President Trump continuing to do is sort of tighten this. That's not a very pleasant way of saying it, but tightening the tourniquet, if that's the way to say it that way, I'll use that way. But one weapon the Trump administration has floated throughout the trade negotiation is the activation of what's called the International Emergency Economics Power Act, and that would be IEEPA, and that's a set of national security powers that allows for broad restrictions of certain commerce, you know, that is deemed a threat to the U.S. So in May, President Trump formally invoked IEEPA to secure emerging 5G networks by banning the acquisition of certain foreign products equipped that could allow adversaries to exploit vulnerabilities. Now, although that order does not name China or Chinese companies directly, it alludes to the industrial espionage type threats that the U.S. has described to allies and the push to restrict the use of Chinese 5G equipment around the world. So under the order, the Department of Commerce has until mid-October to establish regulations on specific restrictions. The activation of IEEPA is yet another warning shot at China, showing that we could see the battle move from company to company restrictions. And, of course, you've seen the one on, I'm not going to say, HUAWEI company. That's a Chinese technology company. And so you've already seen that restrictions on that company that the Trump administration has put on there. So you're seeing it could continue in a technology to technology restriction in the coming months unless negotiators are able to reach an agreement on significant changes in the Chinese economic practices. So one looking at a graph on this report here, it's in billions of dollars and it has blue and dark blue on it. And it talks about the impact let me just give an example here. Organization and pervasive threat or theft of American intellectual property. The U.S. Trade Representative has valued the theft of American intellectual property at $300 billion, which has served as a substantial, is why the tariffs at $250 billion on Chinese imports. So that's sort of, maybe that's where the president's using that number, but that's what they're talking about. The U.S. trade representatives have valued this theft of American intellectual property at $300 billion. So there's where some of the numbers are coming from. So where do we move from here? Now we're going into political politics and the clash of governance system further complicate path to a deal. Wow, that's a mouthful. Fighting China in a trade war is easier for Trump to defend than a weak deal, increasing the likelihood that his fight lasts beyond the 2020 elections. So depends on what side of the fence you're on here or that's a good way to say it. How you look at it, but this is really becoming more of a political issue for the president. And so when you see, you're going to see him use some of this, these negotiating powers, I guess, to continue to try to improve his position. So the Chinese trade fight is arguably the most popular policy position of the Trump administration. Members of Congress may question the style of the negotiation. I don't think it's just the members of Congress that are questioning the style of his negotiations. I think you might could say we all are, right? But few of us are willing to publicly question the substance of the fight, especially on strengthening protection for U.S. tech. And they've been stealing stuff from us for years. Anyway, so fighting China in a trade war is easier for Trump to defend than a weak deal. So increasing the likelihood that this fight lasts beyond the 2020 election. Of course, Ed Mills, believes that one of the biggest threats to President Trump's reelection would be a market sell-off or a weakening economy. Either could cause the president to soften his stance towards China, but that is not a given and could embolden China to hold out. And don't you think that the Chinese are probably trying to stall or delay if they knew they could have an impact on potentially having the president lose? And, of course, I have to be careful of saying some crack here. But anyway, you have a situation where the negotiations, that if they're delayed or dragged out, the Chinese are trying to outlast the president to see if he in fact will take the election. Now on the other side of that, if he does win the election, the Chinese have put all they're in the worst position to negotiate at that point. So politically securing a deal in the short term presents some advantages for both sides. Okay, yeah, but opportunity for miscalculation is heightened in the long term. That's what I was saying. Reaching a deal would provide a market boost in the U.S. and would play well for China's Xi for preserving, for the time being, the relationship with China's largest market, and that's the U.S. In longer term, the incentives do not align as Xi, I can't say his last name, Jinping's term as China's leader will continue well beyond Trump. but the U.S. may experience a change in administration with the 2020 election. And who knows from that at this point, right? From that perspective, the trade fight may be prolonged if China's leaders decide to weather the storm for the time being. So a less comprehensive deal or continuously stalled negotiations may result in a tariff escalation or significant economic restrictions. And escalation points could come right in the heat of the 2020 presidential campaign, which can damage Trump's economic message, or it could provide a political incentive to once again increase pressure on China. And as we noted earlier, we expect trade relations with China to remain a key theme for the presidency, even in the event of a deal struck sometime in 2019. Well, it looks like I am out of time again today already. So I want to again thanks to my brother Jim Edwards for his help here, as always. So let me leave you with this thought before I go. Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. And that's by Jimi Hendrix. So until we meet again, this has been John Schaaf for Financing Your Future.